Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay. Man, we had a really, really busy week.
Man.
With all the elections going on and football, basketball. So we got a lot to talk about today.
That's right. That's right.
So, let's get to it.
Yep, the BCS lining up. They got I'm going to say it. They got Michigan potentially facing Alabama.
Don't do that.
I say surrender flag.
Don't show up.
I just want to put that out there.
Nope. Bus broke down. We couldn't get there. You don't want to get demolished and humiliated.
So you might have to lose the Ohio State game. Just lose it. Just lose it on purpose. Because I don't want Michigan to walk into that.
Send somebody up there, man. That's nothing to look forward to.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
But here's what it is. A lot of football left. You know, hey, man, maybe somebody might knock them off. You never know.
Yeah, you're right. I know we got Ohio State this
SEC?
Weekend.
SEC? Yeah, State.
Ohio State.
So that's good. Because they've been struggling the last couple weeks, Ohio State has. So
yes, they have.
It's going to be a good game, I think.
I think we can still out to be our seventh victory. That'll be pretty good for us.
Bowl eligible.
Yep.
That's it.
We're already at the bowl
that's
eligible.
It's the name of the game.
Yeah, but get us upgrade. That's right. Because it's all about money for the school.
It's all about money for the Big Ten.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we also in college sports, we got. Who else? We got Michigan State.
Michigan State opened up last night with Kansas.
That's right.
Had a good showing, though.
Basketball.
You know?
And you know what I always look at? Man, I'm a Tom Izzo fan. I'm saying this and I'm pausing. But I'm also not a fan because how he controls the possessions.
That's how he does, man.
He kills the flow.
That's his M.O.
He throw the ball to Ward. Throw the ball to Ward. Word must told him, like, I'm leaving for the NBA early. Please come back. Please come back. I don't know other big men. I'll take you. I'll give you the ball. That held us up last night.
Yeah.
And then when we finally was able to play our style of play, we was back in.
Made a game out of it, man. Yeah. But he's been that way.
Yeah. So I'm like, man, okay. Stop controlling
that's
the possessions.
How he roll.
Yep, that's how he rolls, Tony. You're right. But then the other game, the juggernaut.
Duke.
Against
Kentucky.
Against a former one-and-done juggernauts, Kentucky. Man, that guy Zion and Barrett. Barrett is like a center guard.
Man. It's like the Alabama of basketball, man. It's like, these guys may go undefeated, man.
They look like
through the regular season.
They look like UNLV.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah,
the running Rebels.
Zion looked like he out there like Lawrence Taylor with the basketball. He looked like just.
He's a monster, man. He's a monster. Huge.
It was a couple times he had a dunk, and I seen like a 6'11 or a 6'7, a 7-footer that was gonna jump. It was like they looked like, no, I'll forget it.
No, you got a lot of basketball left to play. You do not want to get in his way when he heading to that rack, man.
Man,
back it up.
He's on the cloud, man.
That's
an amazing team. They just amazing. It's just
they played the preseason, you know, but to be that good. At the start of the season, it's scary because teams get better.
Yep, they get better.
The season goes before they get to the tournament. So, yeah, it's like everybody gonna play for second.
Yep, that's right. I'm a fan of Coach K's and how he approaches the game and his ethics and his morals behind it. And I was talking to I was at Susie Merchant's practice on Sunday, and we were just talking about the dynamic of. This generation's kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we was talking about the grandparents being young, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not a two-parent family. And what do you say to them? And she was talking about what we do as coaches and what she does. And I was like, well, I study Coach K a lot. Even though I'm not a Duke fan, I like the philosophy because he comes out of Bobby Knight's tree, right? Coaching tree. And Coach K, what he does is he takes the element where he gives these conceptual lessons. Like, he'll have timeouts throughout the practice where he'll take them in the bleachers, take them in the locker room, sit them on the floor. He'll do things on purpose. But I saw one video where he had asked the guys, he said, are you tired? It was like, at the practice. He said, is your mama tired?
Mm.
And wow. I was like, wow, is your mama tired? Is he trying to get offensive? Like, is your mama tired?
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever tell you she tired?
Right. Did she stop? No, she kept going.
All right,
she had to provide for you. So, but that was conceptual, man.
Exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
And he went on, he expounded on that idea and that concept. And now everybody was locked in. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. He hit them where they needed to hit them at. If they were single-parent homes, two-parent families.
Right.
Mom digs in all the time. Everybody know their mama like that. That's mama for you. And he hit them there. I was like, oh, they going to have a real good team this year.
Yes, so especially when you hit them those kind of examples.
Yeah, I want to commend him for that because that had me thinking a lot. Like,
that's absolutely awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a good coach, man. That's what coaching is all about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. So.
Yep. I know with the high school level, we got the Mello, the little brother, is going to Spire in Ohio.
Oh, that new
new prep school academy.
New prep school, yeah. Yeah, I seen an article the other day. A lot of kids out of the state of Michigan are going to that prep school in Ohio.
You know why? Jermaine Jackson, that played at the University of Detroit.
Right.
He's a head coach and I think athletic director or something. But it costs like $10,000 a year.
Oh, they got it hooked up down there.
Yeah. I think I'm taking me a visit around Christmas time. I'm going to drive down, probably see a game or something I get a weekend break.
Well, you know, next year starts the new rule for transfers and what have you in the state of Michigan. So a lot of these premier players are saying, you know what, if I can't really get slotted into a team where I think we can get showcased and really do well, and those kinds of schools are offering me the opportunity to come and play, then I'm out of here. Yeah, you know, I don't have to deal with the Michigan High School Athletic Association about eligibility and those kinds of things. Just like the kid that had to sit out the entire year that was from state, was going to state.
He had state right now, the big man, white boy. Yeah, you're right.
So if his parents had have known that, trust me, they would have took him to Ohio and said, okay, you're going to play your last 2 years down here at this prep school.
You're exactly right because he was a shining. I can't wait to see what they do down there. But I was looking on the website at Spire. One of my buddies said, go look at the website. Look what Jermaine and them doing. I looked. I was like, lacrosse, all these money sports.
Yeah.
They had basketball. And they traveled across the country.
Yeah, they went after, I think it was Ted Ginn's dad out of Cleveland, Glenville High.
Yes.
Who has turned out some great athletes. They wanted him to come, but he was like, man, I'm too old. Okay, I'm coming to the end of my career. You go find somebody that's young that can handle that. He said, but nope, thanks, but no thanks. So, it's going to be like comparable to the IMG Academy down in Florida.
Yep, for the hoops. You're right. It's coming.
Yeah, all our kids don't want to move to Florida when they're that young.
Yeah.
I mean, case in point, we had AJ.
You're right.
AJ Reed, you know, he went down there and was just like out of his element. So, but a place like that, man, might be the perfect fit for him.
Right in Midwest, right there. You get back home 3 or 4 hours, you back at the crib.
Right, and parents can still come and see you play. You know, so
it's worth it.
Yeah,
but staying on the high school note, we got Cameron Martinez. I mean, every time I look on the social media,
kind of award.
M Live, it's like he getting an award. It's like a drive. He's driving through. It's like a drive through awards for the kid. Like he drive through the drive through. Right. Say, hand me another award.
Give me one. What I got today? What's on the menu today?
That kid is amazing.
Yeah.
Say nothing.
Two games away from the big stage.
That's
you gotta win. Cedar Springs.
Yes, sir.
Which is going to be played at Grand Haven. And, you know, with the weather the way it is coming up these next few days, be playing on grass is not advantageous for us. So I have to take my hat off to the AD and the coaching staff for the foresight to say, you know what, we don't have carpet, but we need to be playing on it. We got a facility that will allow us to do it. I think you should do it. Yeah, so
kudos to Keith Guy for doing that, making that move. Cause you know
because it could be a mud bath down here at Hackney Stadium with this weather we've had. Rain tonight, possibly rain and snow on Friday. The turf has taken a beating over the last few weeks along with the additional rain we've had. So, we still want turf, but among all the other things that we're dealing with as a public school system, it's just not on the table from the aspect of the public paying for it. Okay, it's more than likely it's going to have to be a private donor type of a funded project.
Wow.
So if anybody knows of anyone that has like $750,000 and, you know, sitting around that they don't need, holler at me. We'll put it to use for them.
Yeah, we need that. We need that. Thinking about that and everything. That goes into the elections right now. If you look at Mona Shores, they just passed the bond.
They just passed the bond issue.
$63 million, I think.
Something like that. I didn't.
Fruitport passed one, I think.
Orchard View just got a sinking bond fund. So, you know, and we did too. We just passed one a few years ago. But, you know, a lot of these sinking funds are strictly for maintenance for buildings and not actually.
That's for ours, though.
Yeah.
But the other schools are adding me like, look, we're about to go above and beyond.
You know, but I have not seen, I read about Shores, and it talked about, like, improving the track, but it never said that they were going to invest it in the artificial turf project, which if they got that kind of money, I don't know why they wouldn't do it. Because actually, our field, I think, is better shaped than theirs. Yeah, they got to play on this field on Friday night.
They got to play on their field?
Yeah. They're going to play at their field on Friday.
Wow. So that's going to be rough on them.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, they play pretty much the same kind of style of offense we do. So it's going to be interesting. But they don't have the opponent that we have.
Yeah.
You know, Portage Northern is not as a potent
they got a cake, as they got a cakewalk down there?
Oh, yeah. They do. They got a cakewalk to the dome.
Okay.
I mean, to the Ford Field. They're going to play the same team they played when they got there before, Warren De La Salle. So that's going to be a very interesting football game.
We beat them, though, right?
Yeah, we beat them the second game of the season after King, and that's who we're going to play. That's my prediction, is it'll be a rematch with King at Ford Field for Division III. And, you know, my pick for Division I was Cass Tech, right?
After they bounced
King like they did in the City League Championship, they ran up against them Dearborn Fords and Tractors,
man,
which is a community of Chaldean descent. I'm thinking really haven't played football for a long time, but King had beat them for like the last 4 or 5 years in that final.
Cass had.
Cass, right, yep. Excuse me. But they beat Cass 41-14.
I saw that.
So it wasn't like it was a dog fight.
And on that post, I've got friends in Detroit. On that post, I wrote, right. I said, that's why they didn't want to play the mighty Big Red.
Okay.
Because the Big Reds would attract them too like that.
Oh, man. So the matchups, it must have been just perfect for them. You know, for them to turn around and, you know, 2 weeks prior to that, beat King 42-6 or something like that. And then they win a game, then they get to this game, and then just look like they're not even supposed to be there. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Wow. There's a lot of good teams in Division I that's still in it. So that's going to be fun
to watch this come. Division I's kind of
loaded. West Bloomfield, Clarkston, Saline, Belleville. Yeah. So, yeah, it's Division.
But, you know, when you look at it around this time, Tony, you look at it as the endurance.
Like, yeah.
Whose body's still holding up? Who has the right conditioning? Who's eating right? Who's focused?
Yep. No injuries.
That's right. And I know that these kids from Muskegon, man, they are something different.
Yeah.
They are something different. Yeah.
They used to this.
Yeah, they used to this. They play.
They know the routine.
They say,
they know
we play
the drill.
About 15 weeks of football. We know. We do that every time. They play a college schedule.
Right, right. Yep. The only thing that we don't know is if the one kid got thrown out of last week's game in Sherrill, if he's going to be available for Friday.
Because then the high school rule is you get thrown out, you miss the immediate game. The
following game. But you can appeal it, though, from targeting.
I hope so, because he didn't. I
don't think it was. I just think it was a bang-bang play for the ball. You know, when you look at spearing, it's just like you just launch your body and disregard the football, and you just go after that individual.
He went after the ball.
And it was unfortunate that he was coming down, and their helmets kind of collided. But it wasn't intentional at all. So we'll know tonight.
Yeah, I hope that kid gets back. He's a great piece on the football team for us. But just looking at that, I was talking
because
we played Grand Rapids Christian last time, and I was talking to one of my buddies, CQ Moody, and I was like,
"Oh yeah, CQ."
I say, "Look, CQ, if you call the divorces, they might let you get 4 touchdowns."
Okay.
And then so after they lost, I called him the next day. I was like, "Good game." I said, "You didn't make the call, did you?" I said, how many touchdowns y'all got? He said, we got 3.
You got 3?
Man, I said, if you'd have called, you'd have got 4. But, you know, it's that's to look at it. I just predicted they was going to get 4 touchdowns. But I know Muskegon was going to best them. But it's just, they've never beaten Muskegon. It's just.
Never beaten them, man.
Man.
Nope. And the coach, I watched the coach's interview, and it was like the guy was just brutally honest. He just said, man, you know, we come in here to play. He said, but I've been honest with my kids. You know, it's like if we get down, it's almost impossible to come back on this football team. I'm just telling you that right now. He says, don't pay attention to what you've seen the week before. That was not the norm with the East Grand Rapids game. Yeah. And he just said, what we got to do is play a perfect game and hope they make some mistakes and think we get some breaks. He said, but other than that, man, we're just glad to be here. But he had no discussion about moving on.
Wow. So that's
some
powerful stuff. It just make you think like, that's what we do. That's what we do around this community. We kids play football, they excel, and they achieve.
Yeah, they're referred to in the Detroit metropolitan area as the University of Muskegon. That's what the coaches in Detroit area refer to Muskegon.
Yeah.
The University of Muskegon. I said, okay.
Yep. I know when I go to my doctor's visit, sometimes I have on my Muskegon apparel, and people be looking at me.
It's always a cause for conversation.
Yeah, they always be looking at me.
How you connected, what you do.
Yep. And then, whatever, no matter what we say, it's something we dominating in. I can say girls hoops.
Oh, yeah.
I can say boys hoops. I just had a gear on, just going to and fro, trying to make my appointment. Let me just put this on today.
Right.
I'll be straight. I got the M on. I'll be in Granville. I'll be in Grand Rapids. I'll be in the Southeast.
Oh, they recognize it, don't they? They don't ask you, what is it?
Yeah, they looking at me.
They know.
And then, my M's look kind of different. They might be black. They might be gray. But they know they'll look like this. You Muskegon, huh?
Right. Nothing in Grand Rapids with no M.
Yep. It don't look like the Michigan M because it got the ports coming out for the pipes to, you know, because the factory look.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it is. The working man M. That's what it is.
That's it. That's what we do. Put the work in.
Yep. So I put it on and I look at that. I'm like, man. But speaking of putting in work, we got some election things happen.
Oh my gosh, man.
All these proposals awesome. Out.
It was awesome, man. I'm not really a big Facebook fan, but yesterday I did. I was kind of monitoring it, and I was just amazed at the amount of folks that had voted, that had encouraged other people to go vote, and it was sort of a momentum builder. And as it turned out, it was like record setting for midterm. Rarely do people really get out vote midterm. And the weather wasn't that great either, right?
It was cold, man. I had my mask on when I voted. I was like, okay, I had to put my mask down. I'm like, it was freezing out there.
So my hat is off to the people in the community, the state of Michigan, the United States as a whole. You know, everything didn't go as planned accordingly, but that's okay. But it does show when you mobilize the individuals in a community, what can happen. Case in point, I think the thing that we're most interested in was the school board election.
That's right.
Okay. And Tasha Bibbs,
yes.
By far, won more votes than all of them combined. And that tells you that the people of this community recognize what she has done as a school board member and definitely wants her, and as a person.
I like
Tasha as
a person.
Parent, person, member of the school board community. Because I like to name the people on that board that kids go to Muskegon School, right? We got employees that live in other districts that don't even support the school system.
You're right.
But she truly believes in what we're doing, and she is a prime example of what it could be like.
All her kids been through here.
They won't go anywhere else, man. I mean, my hat is off to her. I think she's a fantastic person, fantastic mom. She's been through a lot. Her kids are just great individuals.
Spirit is amazing.
So I was just happy. I was so elated that she got through this, and hope she continues to be a part of our school board because that's what we need.
Yes, yeah, so
people like her.
You're exactly right. So we can move in the right direction.
We're doing
some good things right now, and just just having people like that to just really care about what's going on in our school ranks.
And the really strange race was the Poppy Hernandez and was it
for the Senate?
Yeah.
Bumstead,
yes. Right. I mean, last night, all the indications were that she was in front. You know, she was up 4 or 5 percentage points. And today I'm looking, and it looks like she actually lost.
Yeah.
I don't know what the final vote is, but there were a lot of close races.
I mean, that was gerrymandering for her.
Yeah.
Because all the campaigns ran against her. They didn't put a person up. They just straight gave her blasphemy.
Yeah.
They just blasted her. And I saw her one day. I said, Poppy, I say, they doing you a good service because they couldn't put a person against you. They just got to say something about you.
Right.
So I said, I'm voting for you just because they can't even put a man up in front of you. They couldn't even put a person. I sometimes say, don't vote for Poppy. Vote for this person. They didn't even have ads like that.
Mm-hmm.
They said, don't vote for Poppy. Then they just say,
don't say nothing about Bumstead.
Yeah, they didn't say nothing about nobody else.
Right.
They just had the article about her. I'm like, what a person that? Who they want you to vote for? Who they
opposing? If you don't vote for her, who you vote for?
Yeah. They didn't have that. They just had, don't vote for Poppy. I'm at the doing my rehab. I'm like, okay, it's a Poppy. I'm like, the first one I saw, I said, who they want me to vote for then?
Mm-hmm.
Who the opponent? Never showed the opponent.
Wow.
Okay. So then I was like, I had to figure out it was Bumstead. And I looked him up. And I'm like, oh, he thinking about trade school, thinking about this. I'm like, man, that's a Republican agenda. It's all about the money. It's not even really real, but I'm not going to get into that. I just want to, because we don't have views on our radio station, but
yeah, we
I
just
saw.
Basically talk facts and some type of personal opinion, but it's going to be interesting. It might be a recall on that vote.
Yes, sir.
just to do another one, because the Upton vote, 60, that was a 6th district representative. That was the same. The Long John was up, and then Fred Upton came in late. So all these races were close. But again, that's an indication that people got out and voted, which is great. So if we have to do a recall and recount the votes, that's good. What else we had? You know what? Another interesting thing I heard that got passed in Florida yesterday.
The ex-felons. We'll move on.
The ex-felons.
That's right.
Isn't that, that's
one of
huge.
My buddies, man, he was a big part of that, man. Marquise down there. He
okay.
Got out, spent some time in, incarcerated, got out, started his own cleaning business. He knows PA, too. Man, his brother led a movement, man. I'm talking about like a crazy movement.
Okay, evidently. He said there's a million. That gives the state of Florida an additional million voters because of that change in the law. Huge. 1 million voters.
So it would have been a different governor.
Potentially could have had a different outcome if that's that right. had a pass this year.
I think he know that. He was talking last night, the guy that was running for governor. I can't remember his name right now. But he was talking, and he was seen so confident, like, I'm here now.
Yeah.
I know that I've learned the system, so I'm here.
Yeah, some things came out late
yes.
in that election. Gilliam, I think it was.
That's his name, yes, sir.
FBI probe about some improprieties as far as doing the fundraising. There were certain individuals they thought was connected to the city that received contracts. You know, so we know what happened in the state of Florida.
All right, we're not Florida roll. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, somebody had that card, you know, and all you got to do is plant the seed of any, you know, wrongdoings as a political official, and that's all you got to do. You don't have to prove it. You just got to say these are some of the things that we think he has done. And now there you go. The public takes a whole different look at him. So especially those on the fence kind of people, those that are close to him and understand and been around him and knows what kind of guy he is, say, you know what, that's we're poo-poo on that. We're going to continue to support him, but there's others that, you know, will look at him differently. So, yeah, that's what happened to him.
Yeah, you're right. Another person that I'm very proud of, Breonna Scott Grish.
Oh, man.
Man.
Was that amazing?
Man, that's like.
Breonna brought it in, man.
Man, that make me proud to be a Spartan, seeing her coming from the roots of Muskegon, knowing of her father when he was a police officer, spending time around her brother, Mr. Walker, knowing her husband, Stan Grisham, and just seeing how people rallied around her vision.
Throughout the state of Michigan.
Her vision.
Yeah. Detroit.
Yep.
Lansing. Muskegon, MSU Black, Grand Rapids.
MSU Black alumni. We got emails like, y'all better vote for Breonna. Just the support, the unions, all that, the labor people, the UAW, all those people that was behind what she believed in.
So that they flipped from a Republican basically ran board of trustees to basically Democrats that says, you know, what had transpired over the last 15 and 20 years at Michigan State University is no longer going to happen.
Okay? There you go.
They got a fresh new group of people that are going to make sure that those kind of things never happen again.
And they got some women in there.
Yeah.
That's who was violated during that time.
Right.
Women didn't have a voice. Now you got an attorney that you bring along on the board that's worked that with the prosecutor's office that don't play. So she.
And she has her own story to tell.
That's right.
Okay, we don't have to get into that.
But
if you read about it, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
She
it wasn't an easy road for her.
That's right. So she know what it is like of being a true Spartan. I'm proud of her and her family and all the people that's been on her committee, man. She has some heavy hitters on her committee. Kudos to those people that really got the message out and the word out, sharing
absolutely.
The posts and all that. So I'm proud of my community for one, and just saying I know somebody that's from this community that on the board at the university, and they didn't take the silver spoon route.
No. She got hers the right way.
Yeah.
She got out here.
And I heard one of her interviews when she talked about, I'm not an athlete. Not a former athlete.
Mm-mm.
I'm not a former football player.
No coaching.
Rich kid. She's like, I'm self-made. I've done this. She's her own business owner, you know. She
right.
has a son that's at the university. So it's just good stuff. And it's going to be a great swing for finance, for the financial things in the state. Because that's a big position, man, at Michigan State
Board.
Yeah,
because, I mean, the last group have already appropriated $500 million, right?
Yes.
To the fund for the young ladies that were violated by Nassar. I mean, that's a huge hole, man. You know, that means you may have to raise tuition and cut jobs, all that kind of stuff, to come up with $500 million.
Yep. So this is, it is a financial show. So it's like the midterm vote is important. The show is mostly
about that.
And the last thing on our agenda is the marijuana.
Oh, that's going to be huge. Okay. And based on when you look at the amount of votes that were cast, there were a lot of people that supported it. And I imagine everybody had their own reasoning for it. Maybe that was a driving force behind the huge voter turnout. But yet, what happened was, with the passage of that bill, it's a skeleton, right?
Yes,
there
sir.
Is still meat to get put on this bone, for the simple reason that the reason that it's going to be legalized is because it's going to generate a tax base, okay?
That's
for the state. That's the only reason it's on the ballot. And you look back over years, the lottery, right?
Yes, sir.
Was illegal for years, right? State figured out a way to legalize the lottery because it was a generator of revenue. Now, marijuana is in that same boat, and it's going to evolve into, you know, how do we tax this? How do we regulate this? You know, how do we deal with those that violate the laws? So it's a lot of work yet to be done with this new passage. And people that, you know, that voted for it need to understand that there are still consequences for breaking the law if you don't understand all the nuances of this new law.
Yeah. I know Whitmer. I know I voted for Whitmer. I
okay. Did. Democrat.
Had,
yep.
She had a brother I knew out of Michigan, out of Detroit with her, her running mate. And
Gilchrist.
That's right. And she said she is willing to consider pardons for marijuana offenders. Uh-oh.
Okay. Why not?
So that's going to free up a lot of, that's going to help a lot too. But then when you look at the Republican way of living life, you know, it's about keeping the jail cells filled.
Well, yeah, we know that's money, that revenue that goes to the city, the county, municipalities for fines. And then there are people that are incarcerated. We don't know what, you know, if it was for an ounce, 2 ounces, a pound, or whatever. I don't know what kind of guidelines she's going to set up as far as doing the...
how many years or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's great that she's going to take a look at it because it is a non-violent type of a crime, and we don't need to have those guys in jail. Yeah. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, this is from MLive, the seven things about when they legalize marijuana. Number one, it says the law doesn't go into effect right away. So yep. You got to wait about 2 weeks till they get in the room at the state and hit the gavel and show the bill that is signed.
Yep.
So it goes into a law. Two, retail shops won't open for at least another year. So don't think that you could be like, I'm going to buy me a pack of joints from Shells. It's not going to happen yet. Got about a year to do that.
Yep.
So.
And there's regulation going to be, with, you know, because yeah. Like we were talking earlier, can you be a felon and then own one of these type of dispensaries? Yep. Probably not.
Probably not. The law could still change. It's going to be some people going to try to ban it in certain cities. Certain cities going to call it the Halloween drug. They're going to like, think yep. It's the end of the world. So they're going to try to ban it across their city or township. So that's going to happen. Local officials might pass the bans. Next, how can you buy medical? You can't buy medical marijuana for recreational use. So you can't go to the dispensary. You got to be able to get it from where it's supposed to get it from. And then.
Got to be 21.
Yep. Got to be. Don't smoke and drive. So don't think that it's illegal. You finna blow and drive and have the car all cloudy. Like I see some of y'all on the highway. You can't do that.
Not in public.
Yep. I done seen plenty of guys when I'm going on my doctor visits, car cloudy. I'm like, man, I'd be behind the car. I'm like, days. I'm just keeping it real. I see it.
Okay. You know what's going on.
Like, why that car got a cloud in the windows? So y'all smoke and drive.
25, you got to have 2.5 ounces of marijuana or 15 grams of concentrate on your person at home. All right.
I think you can smoke at home.
Yeah, this is the only time you can use it. And it has to be stored in a container with locks or security. So it just can't be laying out where everybody can come in and have at it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, kids.
And you can still get fired for weed. You can't tell your boss, I'm smoking on my lunch break.
Because it's legal now.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't tell your boss that. Well, that's not gonna
boss say, well, we have a zero tolerance policy for drugs in this workplace.
Yeah, and then you got liability, too.
Cause yeah.
People work around heavy equipment, man.
Driving trucks, running cranes. Yeah,
stamp
man.
Stamp machines.
Yeah, they start daydreaming, not paying attention. Oh, no. Mm-mm. So you can't use that excuse.
It's not going to happen. So it's just, when you think about it, some good things can come out of it, and then some other things that we got to be precautionary about. It's going to be in place. But my thing is, just make sure you follow the law. You got an opportunity, if you're a user, recreational, and just
follow the law.
Do your due diligence, man, and celebrate how you're going to celebrate.
And the other one we talked about was landlords, right? If you're a renter,
yes, sir.
And a landlord says, you know, I have no smoking policy for my properties, you can't smoke it, even though it's legal. And he says, you can't smoke it on my property, you can't smoke it.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like I know in East Park Manor, they said they put their people out in the projects. They putting people out for smoking, period.
Okay.
So if they catch you smoking and you smoke, it's legal now. Oh, you got to go. You're going to be evicted. So be careful. Be careful.
Yeah. So there's a lot to come with that.
Yeah. Because you're talking about a federal law that's illegal and a local law, state law that's legal.
Right.
Illegal and illegal.
And that's going to be the argument. Does the federal law supersede state law? That's going to be the argument from prosecutors and potentially some judges. So, like you say, this is not a done deal yet. The referendum has basically been set by the public, but yet it's going to be the lawmakers that actually determine whether or not we're going to uphold that referendum by the voting public.
Yeah, that's something to think about. Okay, I'm going to give you the scriptures. It's not funny that we're following marijuana.
No, this is the law. We're just telling you what happened.
And then, like they say, I don't use marijuana, but it's a plant. It comes from the earth. It's organic till man affects it. But I'm not going to get into that argument.
Nope.
It says, scripture we have, trust God the least, good for nothing. Proverbs 13, verse 22, it says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren.
Yes, sir.
But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. So basically, if you're in the marijuana, you're not doing it right. You're not following the law. Your wealth going to pass on to the godly. So I'm going to have my hands out. I'm waiting.
Yeah, that's paying off them judges and lawyers and everybody else. They're going to be in your pocket.
That's right.
You didn't follow the rules.
Now, please follow the rules. Be a responsible adult, 21 years old. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.